was going to talk about remembering on this topic, but we're kind of running out of time, so I'm just going to summarize what I was going to say. So it's not going to be a full-blown sermon or anything, but who has a good memory here? Sort of, kind of, sort of. Photographic memory, right? Okay, who remember who preached last week? Okay, Cheryl, my wife. Okay, all right. Who remembers who you had, what you had for dinner? Not who you had, what you had for dinner last night? Yeah? What did you have? Beef stroganoff. How about a week ago? Do you remember what you had for dinner a week ago? No. Actually, I do. It was pasta a week ago, right? Didn't we have pasta last Sunday? All right, so, you know, who's good at remembering birthdays? Yeah, sort of? Okay, good. Good for you. I'm horrible at remembering birthdays. Anniversaries? All right, good. How about phone numbers? For those of us who are older, back in the day before cell phones, we always had to remember phone numbers. But these days, you don't have to remember phone numbers anymore because you can just program them in, right? People's names. I used to be really good at remembering people's names, but then I feel like the older I get, the worse I become. Even last week during small group, I looked at Alice and I called her Kate. And I felt so embarrassed, because I was thinking about saying, oh, Alice, Kate was here last week. But I was like, Kate, Alice was here last week. So, but think about how you remember things. And like, what helps you remember things so that you don't forget? Maybe writing things down, putting on a sticky note, a post-it pad. Maybe adding reminders to your electronic calendar. Maybe asking Alexa to add things to your shopping list, like my wife talked about last week. You know, Facebook is really good about reminding you, like, you know, anniversaries, birthdays. Or, you know, sometimes in Facebook, certain memories pop up, like, oh, a year ago, or this happened 5 years ago, and you look like, oh, I used to look so young 5 years ago. What happened? Okay, but this topic of remembering actually is mentioned quite a number of times in the Bible, and I was going to have some examples, but we're not going to go into that. But actually, depending on the version that you look at, the topic of remembering is mentioned on average at least about 150 times. And then sometimes, depending on the version, it's up to even like 200 or 300 times. But I also want to go back to a part of scripture in the Old Testament and paraphrase what God did for his people, the Israelites. Now, how many of you have seen the movie, and again, I might be dating myself, The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston and, you know, the whole Israelites and coming out of Egypt, right? We remember that the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, right? And they were subject to forced labor until God raised up Moses to lead them out of Egypt. And then, you know, you remember that Pharaoh's heart was very hardened and it took 10 plagues before he finally let the Israelites go, right? And it kind of culminated in Pharaoh losing his firstborn son. And then finally, Pharaoh said, fine, you know, you can go. But then after the Israelites left, Pharaoh and his army still pursued them, right? And then, of course, they got to the Red Sea. They were kind of stuck. They didn't know what to do. The Israelites didn't know what to do. And then, basically, God miraculously parts the Red Sea, right? And then all the Israelites go across, and the Egyptians and their army follow suit on their chariots and their horses. And then, of course, God restores the parted Red Sea after all of the Israelites get across, and all of the Egyptians die, right? And you'll remember how God led them through the wilderness, through a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But then at times the Israelites would complain, like, oh, we're kind of hungry, we don't have anything to eat. And then, of course, sure enough, God would provide. He would send manna in the morning, a bread-like substance that would appear with the dew, right? Kind of sweet, like coriander. And then quail in the evening, right? And then, of course, they would complain some more. Oh, we're really thirsty. And then, you know, water would gush out of a rock. And then bitter water would be made sweet. And then, but later in the book of Numbers, I'm going really fast, we read that the Israelites repeatedly didn't trust God to provide for them in the wilderness, even though time and time again he still did. And that generation would not be allowed to enter the promised land, right? And then after wandering in the desert for about 38 years, almost 40 years, that entire generation of complainers finally died. And all of their offspring, with the exception of what, the two spies, Caleb and Joshua, right? They were able to cross into the promised land, right? Now you kind of think, well, you know, I get the Israelites, I get all of that, but I don't think I complain that much, right? Or I don't think I grumble that much, or I don't think I you know, do all these things that they did. But if you think about it, I think sometimes we actually do, right? Sometimes we actually do complain and we forget what God may have done just last week or 2 weeks ago or even a month ago. Now, when we get to the book of Deuteronomy, it's really Moses' final address to the people that he's led for like 3 or 4 decades as they're about to cross the Jordan and occupy the promised land. And this book of Deuteronomy, basically the theme is that Moses tells the people of Israel is to remember what God has done. And we're not going to read all of those passages, but I'll read some of them. But basically in Deuteronomy 4:9, Moses tells the people, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. So he's telling the people as they're about to go in, don't forget what you've seen. Don't forget all the miracles that you've seen God do. Even as a little kid, you know, they may have heard from their parents how God parted the Red Sea. They may have heard from their parents how God provided the manna for food to eat, how God sent in the quail, how God provided water from the rock. Don't forget what you've seen and experienced. And even teach them to your children. Pass it on. Spread the word. Tell others. Kind of like how Eric and Vivian testified of what God did over the last 6 weeks. Kind of like how Helen shared her testimony with us of what God did just a few weeks ago, right? Tell them on to others. Pass what God has done, right? And then the next passage is Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 18. And I'm going to read this, and I'm going to ask you to read with me as we go through this passage. Moses is saying, when you have eaten and are satisfied, he's telling the Israelites, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Again, right before they go across the Jordan. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, you will build fine houses and settle down. And when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. What's Moses basically telling the Israelites? To not forget what God has done, right? And in verse 12, he warns them, otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, right? Moses is warning against pride, against doing everything themselves, right? And forgetting the Lord your God. You know, when I was reading this, I was like, this can sometimes be a picture of my life. This can sometimes be a picture of our lives. This can sometimes be a picture of New Vine. That, you know, we depend on God when we need him, but then when everything is fine and dandy, we forget what he has done. You know, some of us have come from an immigrant background. You know, some of us, maybe our parents came to flee wars or came into the U.S. for a better education. And maybe some of us had humble beginnings, right? But then, as we kind of get more comfortable, as we kind of excel in our schoolwork, in our jobs, we, like the Israelites, what do? We eat and are satisfied. We build fine houses. We settle down. And sometimes we forget, right? So my challenge to you tonight, again, with this next series, is not to settle, not to become proud, and to realize that it's really not us that's doing it, but it's really God blessing us, right? It's actually very not just for the Israelites, but even it can happen so easily in our lives. You know, most of us have advanced degrees. Some of us do, some of us don't. But the thing is we all have a story of God's goodness and faithfulness in our lives. But sometimes it is so easy to forget. Sometimes it's so easy to be complacent. Sometimes it's so easy to say, oh yeah, that was just manna. Oh yeah, that was just water that God provided. But actually, it was a miracle. Oh yeah, that was just a job that I got, right? But do you remember how you got that job? Do you remember how God provided for you? Sometimes we get so jaded. Sometimes we're just not awed. And we get comfortable and we settle. And then we're not going to look at it, but basically when the Israelites go into the promised land, when they actually go through the Jordan River into the promised land, God instructs Joshua, the new leader, to gather 12 stones from the Jordan River, to set those 12 stones up as a memorial, to remind them of what God accomplished, to remind them of how God led them out of Egypt and through the Jordan River. You know, sometimes it's important for us to have these markers, to have these memorials, to remind us of God's faithfulness. I don't know what that marker might look like for you. Maybe it's a picture of some sort. Maybe it's something that you've journaled. Maybe it's something that you have written down. But it's important for us in our spiritual lives, in our journeys, to not forget God's goodness, his faithfulness, and to really have these special markers. It could be a stone. It could be something that reminds us of that time in our lives that God delivered us through a Red Sea experience, through a Jordan River experience, maybe providing food for us when we're in the desert. And it doesn't even have to be that dramatic. But however the Lord has worked in your life, and I'm sure he has worked in each and every one of our lives, no matter how big, no matter how small, we need to be able to memorialize these things and to not forget. Because otherwise we grow numb, we grow jaded. And I think even as a New Vine community, we have to remind each other of God's goodness in our lives. Even as we think about New Vine, you know, we'll be 3 years old in September. Okay, some of you have been with us since the beginning. Some of you got that mailer and you came, right? That's amazing in itself. Some of you came because, I don't know, someone told you. You know, some of you came because you found it on the website. You know, you found it online. However God brought you, some of you, a friend invited you. You know, you need to chronicle and remember how God has worked in your life, the big and the small. You know, today we remember the biggest thing, which is what Christ did for us on the cross. You know, every month we've been coming together, celebrating communion. Every month we gather together, reminding ourselves of what Jesus did for us. Some churches observe communion every week. You know, we've been doing it monthly. And the thing about communion is it's commemorating what Jesus did on that cross, how his body was broken for us, how his blood was poured out for us. The biggest sacrifice that anyone could give is one's own life. And that's exactly what our Lord and Savior did for us. And tonight, as we come before his table, we remember that big sacrifice. But the thing about communion is, yes, we observe it here at New Vine, but it's not only limited to here. You know, I'm going to read a few passages. Luke 22, 14 to 20. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you that I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Jesus tells us to do this in remembrance of him. To not forget, sometimes as believers, we know we believe in Jesus, we know that we love him, but sometimes we have this tendency to forget of God's goodness, of perhaps Jesus' death on the cross for us. And so every month we gather together and we commemorate, we celebrate, we come together and we reflect, and we come together with grateful hearts and say, "Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice for us. We thank you for your broken body. We thank you for your blood that was spilled for us." You know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul basically says that whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Every time we gather together and observe the Lord's Supper, we proclaim his death until he comes. And that's really the meaning of communion. And so before I invite you to come forward to receive the elements, I just want you to spend some time remembering what God has done in your life. I want you to spend some time just coming before him, quieting yourselves, and thinking about just his goodness. Maybe going through your spiritual memory album, maybe recalling or asking God to remind you of the different things that God has done, how he's been faithful, the different victories that he's given you, perhaps the different miracles in your life. How God has provided for you, how God has given you life, your family, your parents, your home, your education. Certain times in your life where you were kind of at your wit's end, but then God came through. So take this opportunity to just reflect. Take this opportunity to ask the Lord to bring to your mind what he has done. But then also take this opportunity to thank him for his faithfulness, but also ultimately, as we remember tonight, just his sacrifice for you and me. To deliberately reflect on God and thinking carefully about what he's done. Replaying his story in our lives. Pondering upon that, treasuring it. So God, we come before you tonight, and Lord, we thank you because you are a good and faithful God. Lord, we ask God that even as we gather to remember your goodness in our lives, but ultimately, Jesus, your sacrifice on the cross for us, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would call to mind the specific acts of love, of kindness, of generosity, of provision that you have given to each one of us. Father, whether it be a healing, whether it be a job, whether it be getting us through the end of each day, Father, we come before you recognizing, Lord, that none of us, it's not because of what we have done, but because of who you are. So God, as we reflect, we ask that, Lord, you would give us that memory or memories, that you would give us also grateful hearts, that we will respond with a heart of gratitude and love. And Jesus, we thank you for your ultimate sacrifice, for dying on the cross, for loving us, for calling us worthy, not because we are, but because you say that you love us and because you chose death in our place. Father, we thank you for your sacrifice of your son, that Jesus' body could be broken and your blood could be spilled. Thank you, Jesus, for this time that we can remember. God, we come before you and we thank you for just, God, your awesomeness. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, for just your goodness in our lives. Lord, for every little thing and every big thing that you do. God, we ask that you would help us to remember to reflect, to ponder, and to never forget all the things that you have done for us. Lord, especially tonight, Lord, as we remember, Jesus, your work on the cross, thank you for loving us when we were still so unlovable. Thank you for calling us by name. Thank you, God, that you showed mercy to us, that while we were still sinners, Jesus, you died for us. Thank you for your broken body, your blood that was shed for us, so that we could have a relationship with the Father. Thank you for providing a way for us to access our Abba's bosom. Thank you, God, for your great love, for your sacrifice. Father, we pray that even as we are reminded tonight, Lord, of your sacrifice, Lord, we ask that you would help us, Holy Spirit, to bring things to mind, not just even right now, but Lord, as we go throughout this week, that you would help us to remember and to give you praise, to testify of your goodness to others. Father, remind us why you have called us as a church community. Remind us why you have called us as a people to yourself. God, that we would be light to those that are still in darkness, that Jesus, you would help us to be influences to those around us. Father, we pray that even as we go upstairs and enjoy a meal together, that Father, you would send us out as your people, as your ambassadors, Jesus, as we go to our neighborhoods, as we go to our places of work, as we go to our schools. Lord, send us out, and we ask, God, for your blessing, and we ask, Lord, for your empowering Holy Spirit. God, we thank you and we love you, for it's in your name we pray.